Bible. And when God says something five times, he means it big time. The Lord says something one time, he means it. Isn't that right? God only has to say something one time. Somebody said one time, they said, well, that's only in the Bible once. Well, that's plenty. Ain't that right? That's plenty. Yep, just a little bit, brother. And so tonight, the three words that I'm going to preach about, I'm not going to be long at all. I'm going to be short so you can go get your ice cream. We're going to be very brief tonight, but right to the point. Three words. These words are, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Those three words in that order are found five times in the Bible. I'm just going to briefly show them to you. You can mark them. And I want to look at that word deceived first. The word deceived means to make somebody believe something that is not true. The way the devil got Adam and Eve in this mess to start with, he made Eve think she'd be better off if she ate that fruit. He deceived her. The Bible said the man was not deceived, but the woman was in deceit. Adam went into it with his eyes open. He knew exactly what he was doing. But Eve was tricked by the devil. He deceived her. So the word deceived means to make somebody believe something that is not true. Now, according to that definition, buddy, we are living in that day. This would be called the age of deception. There has never been a time where so many people have been and are being deceived as this day that we live in. Amen? Somebody said several years ago, they come out with this up in New York City. They came out with this perfume for women, ain't that? Cologne for men, perfume for women. Perfume. And they were going to sell it to all these rich ladies in New York. And they brought this bottle out, and they put it in a real fancy little bottle. They had all kinds of little decorative things on it. They give it a fancy, romantic name like Evening and Drexel or something like that. And they put it on the shelves, and they give it a big Madison Avenue push, and they advertise this perfume for ladies, and they said, oh, it's magnificent. This fragrance is so soft and lovely, and those women went and bought that stuff up like it was going out of style. And they paid like $20 for a little bitty tiny bottle of it about that high. And somebody got to looking at it and found out that it wasn't nothing at all but pure, fresh water. That's all. That's all it was. And they bottled it up and made it look good, and those people just bought it all up. And that's what happens in this generation. Hollywood can push something. The news media can make a big deal out of it. Make a big advertisement. People will just go following anything. We are living in the age of deception. Yet the Bible said, be not deceived. I'm thankful tonight that we have a Bible and a God and the Holy Ghost inside of us that will keep us from being deceived if we'll pay attention to what God said. So tonight, let me show you these. First of all, take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. You'll see this first one here tonight. And I want you to look at it with me if you don't mind, please. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. And we'll see the first time that the words be not deceived are mentioned. It would be verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 16. The Bible said here, look at it with me if you will. Bible said, take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. And ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So the first be not deceived tonight would be saying this. Don't turn aside and worship other gods. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, all the way through the Bible, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am God. I am the Lord thy God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, strength, and body. So this first God, the Bible verse here said that we're not supposed to have any other God. You know as well as I know that we're living in a time, especially in this country, brother, when everything and anything is a God put ahead of God. I mean, people even claim to be Christians. Anything comes up, we'll do this first, and we'll go to church if we ain't got nothing else to do. We'll serve God. We'll read the Bible if there's nothing else to do. Only in emergency. I'm telling you tonight, we've made a God out of education in this country. We've made a God out of sports in this country. We're in a nation that's absolutely hog wild crazy over a ball game, over sports. And I'm telling you tonight, that book said, take heed that your heart be not deceived and that you follow after other God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I mean, you know, I like basketball. Nothing wrong with you enjoying sports in their place. There's nothing wrong with you enjoying a ball game in its place. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Michael Jordan didn't die for my sin. Had a baseball player. It's not the one I'm going to stand in front of and be judged one of these days. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something tonight, mamas and daddies and kids here this evening, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Lord said. And the Bible said, take heed that your heart be not deceived, that you follow other gods. Amen. That's why, listen, if you can put a bumper sticker on your car about a ball team, you can put one on there about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't hear y'all. That's right. I mean, brother, I don't understand. People, they can go everywhere, do everything in the world. Right? If you can wear a shirt that says Atlanta Braves, you can wear one that says Jesus Saves. Come on now. Come on. Come on. You ain't a little hypocrite. You ain't a chicken, are you? You're not a little wimp. You say, well, Brother Danny, one girl told me, she said, I just don't want to seem pushy. You don't mind pushing Abercrombie, you little hypocrite. You don't meddle pushing Apostle or American Eagle. You ought not to be ashamed of the one that went to Calvary and died for you and saved you. Say amen, people. I'm really, 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 really worried about some of you folks. I mean, you're an idol worshiper. Idol worshiper. Hey, man, we made a God out of the environment. Oh, poor old retarded Al Gore and all them Greenpeace people, environmental people, they've lost their mind. We've made a God out of the environment. There are actually people that go around preaching that it's a Christian's job to save the environment and protect the environment. There ain't nothing like that in the Bible. You know what God thinks about the environment? The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said he's going to burn it up with a fervent heat. God's going to burn the whole thing up. Rocks and trees, Smoky Bear, I mean the Grand Canyon, the Blue Ridge Parkway, the Lord's going to fry it one of these days. And he's going to make a new earth. We're not environmentalists. We are Christians trying to get somebody saved. I was preaching somewhere, this will never happen here by the grace of God. I hate to go up a road and see this highway has been adopted by such and such Baptist youth. And they think that's serving God. All the young, that's their youth activity. They go out on Saturday and pick up the beer cans the sinners throwed out on Friday night. And we're serving God. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I ain't going to pick up. God didn't call me to pick up beer cans, the sinners. God called me to preach the devil out of the sinners, and then they'll quit drinking beer. Ain't that right? We're crazy in this generation. We made a God out of the environment. You say, well, Brother Danny, you mean you believe it's all right to litter? Yeah, you heard me before. I tell you what I believe. I think it's a sin to throw down a piece of paper inside of a $20,000 car. Things cost too much. And the reason you don't understand that, your mind is warped. Listen, bro. Somebody said, well, what about Mother Earth? The Earth ain't her mother. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Old Sam Gibb, he's out there on the radio, out there in Colorado somewhere, and all these tree-hugging, owl-kissing, lizard-loving. Really, they are. They had a big deal over a thing out in Texas. I don't know if y'all heard about it. Over a lizard
There's a lizard was on the blessed endangered species endangered list, and they said, well, we can't build this highway, we can't drill for oil. Gas $4 a gallon, and we're scared to drill any oil because we're going to kill a lizard. We have lost our mind in this thing. I'd say kill a stupid lizard. We don't need no lizards. I got plenty of them at my house. You say, well, they might become extinct. What? Who cares? Dinosaurs extinct. We don't miss them, do we? You miss dinosaurs. You say, boy, life was better. I'm glad there ain't nothing out there as big as this church. Out there in the parking lot. I'm glad, brother, they're gone. Thank God dinosaurs are extinct. I wish the lizards would. I wish snakes would become extinct. I wish mosquitoes would become extinct. And flies, who cares? Blow them all to kingdom hell or where they're going when they die. I'm going to tell you something. Brother, we're making gods out of everything in the world except the Lord. I believe we ought to come to church on Sunday, lay everything else aside, and say, brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word and enjoy God? Say amen right there. Old Sam got out there on that radio. He said on there, and he got on radio and he said, I spit on your mother today. Them Greenpeace people about had a heart attack. He's talking about Mother Earth. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We are made gods out of the environment today. We've made gods out of sports. We've made gods out of education. We've made gods out of everything. And the Bible said, be not deceived. I'm going to tell you something. When you're laying in that hospital and the doctor looks down at you and it's life or death and it's maybe the last day of your life, the environment ain't going to help you. And brother, a ball team ain't going to help you. And a TV show ain't going to help you. It'll be the Lord that you'll be calling on then. And you better not make a god out of anything else but God. Second, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 21. Quickly, tonight. Luke chapter 21. I'll show you the second, be not deceived. Quickly this evening. Luke chapter number 21. Here in the Word of God, Luke chapter number 21. Bible said this. Bible said here in Luke chapter 21, look with me if you will at verse 8. You find it the second time. Luke 21:8. And he said, take heed. There he says it again, that you be not deceived. There it is again. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Well, we'd have saved us a lot of newspaper articles, and we'd have saved a lot of press time, and a lot of interviews, and a lot of laughter about the coming of the Lord, if people had enough sense to follow that second, be not deceived. Only 2 weeks ago, we saw this happen. When that nut out there said, the Lord's coming on May the 21st, and he created, listen, there was one woman cut her kid's throat out there, laid her kids down on the bed, cut their throats because of the terrible judgment day she thought was coming. There was somebody that said, tried to kill herself. There was another gave all their money to that preacher and left her kids out of their will, and she died. And all kinds of stuff like that. You know why? The Lord said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. False Christ, false prophet. They'd had a brain in their head. They'd have never had a life to him. First time they ever heard that. When they told me the Lord's coming back on May 21st, I mean, you know what I did? I thought, well, that's the stupidest thing I've heard. You can't tell the day the Lord's coming back. The Bible said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. False Christ and false prophets. Listen, they said there's over 1,100 men in America tonight who claim to be Jesus Christ. They say they're him. Charles Manson sat in a courtroom in California, and he sat there and he said, I've already died for your sins one time. I'm not going to do it again. And his followers believed that he was Jesus. You see, their heart was deceived. Now let me ask you something. If Charles Manson come in here tonight, and a scary looking little thing, and he's on LSD, and getting a commune going, and did go to church and dinner, would you believe he's Jesus? Of course not. You know why? Y'all know better. You've been taught different. But the Lord said, be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I
am Christ, and the time is near. Go not after them. When somebody said, the Lord's over here, say, see you later. When somebody said, Jesus is at my house, I was up in Michigan preaching, and the preacher told me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, now, there's a preacher down here that died, and he told all his congregation when he died, he's coming back. And they said, he died not long ago, and they've been waiting on him to come back for about 2 months. And I said, you mean they ain't made, the law ain't made them bury him? Well, they went around it and done stuff, you know, and embalmed him and everything else, kept him out, because they believe that he's coming back alive. And I said, well, if he ain't coming back in 2 months, I don't think. You know what he said? Said that guy was watching TV. And the Lord revealed to him while he's watching TV that he was one of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Amen. Listen, I don't think the Lord revealed nothing to him while he's watching TV. The Lord might have said, turn it off, stupid, or something like that. But I doubt the Lord showed him that he was one of the two prophets of Revelation, of the tribulation period. Listen, people, there's so much junk right down here in Forest City a few years ago. There's a man come driving down the street about 50 miles an hour in a 20-mile-an-hour zone. He went bang, slammed into a car. Bang, hit another. Bang, hit another one. Bang, turned his car upside down. And people crowded around. And the man got out and started saying, shaking everybody's hands, saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the cops got him. And he said God told him to go flying down the street and run into all them cars and do that. That's what it said. Them guys down in Pensacola who blowed up the abortion clinic said God told them to do that. You know, that proves the old saying, there's a sucker born every minute. I'm going to tell you people something here tonight. In case you ain't noticed it, this world is full of nuts. I'm talking, brother, out there somewhere. Lord have mercy. I've had them come in church on me before, and they got that look, you know, where they're like kind of glazed over, and they're walking out, and they're we was down there. Lord, we was in Georgia not long ago, and when y'all went with me, we was down there in that revival, just started. And I don't know this man. He might have meant well and everything, but there's a fella come in. We had that church packed full, little bitty church. It was jam-packed, wall to wall. You couldn't get a seat. And they wanted me to do that rock music thing, and I showed the video. And every time I do that, there's always some kind of demonic activity. And there's an older fella come in the back, and he had a cane about that long. And he come in with that cane, and he started looking around with everybody. And when I started giving the invitation, this guy started walking around and said, all right, prepare to meet God. Judgment day's coming. All right. Slinging that cane over everybody. How many of y'all saw that? Raise your hand. You know that? And I just said, well, whatever. Come on, people. I just kept on doing, because I've had weird stuff happen when I do that. I had a guy one night come up. I had the projector right here, and a man stood up and went like this right in front of my projector like he was Jesus. Right in front of him, blocked off the picture. I was just preaching away. I said, scoot over, brother. And he was just doing like that. Finally, somebody moved him out of the way. Well, this guy came around, he was swinging this cane around, and he was like he was preaching. And I didn't want to think bad of him, because I thought maybe the Lord, maybe he's a prophet or God or something. Lord did that. You know, I hate to judge people. But I bet you still, it just felt weird. He said, the Lord's coming. Prepare to meet God. And then he walked around here, and they was up singing behind me. And I was over here preaching, and Brother Jason and two or three others, they said, we got you back, brother. We got you back. They said, if he makes one move toward him, they was ready to just tackle him right there. I don't know. But they said he's saying some weird stuff after the services. Listen, brother, there's some nuts out there in this world. You probably work with some of them. And they'll pick out them nuts and put them on TV. They won't never put a faithful man of God on TV. They won't never put one that pays his bills and lives right and preaches the gospel and lives on a modest salary and loves his wife and his family. They won't put that on TV. They'll find some idiot and make you think the world's crazy. That's why the Lord said, be not deceived. Let's look at another one right quick. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Here in Galatians chapter 6, let me show you the third, be not deceived. This one will be quick, so look at it.
Let's look at it here in Galatians chapter number 6. Here in the Word of God, Bible said this, Galatians chapter 6, very, very well-known verse, and verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Look here what he said. Be not deceived. There it is. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Young people, truer words were never spoken. You can't get out here and fool around with the devil and fool around with sin and not expect payday to come down the road somewhere. You know what they do on MTV? You know what they tell you on VH1 and MTV2 and 3 and 4 and whatever else they got on there? You know what they tell y'all? Just live it up. Party. You know what them old Jersey whores do? You know what they do? You know they tell you, hey, everything's all right. Shack up, live like the devil. They never show the consequences. You check back with old Snooky, Dookie and all them here in a few years. Check back with the situation here in just a few years where they got some kind of disease. They're going down. That book said, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I know it's old fashioned. I know you young people don't hear it much anymore. But sin will find you out. Sin will get you in trouble. Sin will give you a disease. Sin will send you to prison. Sin will ruin your life. You're deceived if you don't believe that. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can just go out and do anything I want to and God will forgive me. That's true. But there's a reaping coming too. I can go out here in a bar and get drunk, get in a fight, get in a knife fight, have to have my hand took off. And I can come up here to the altar next Sunday and ask God to forgive me, and God will forgive me. But I ain't got no hand. I'm like that the rest of my life. There's a payday. There's a payday. Are y'all listening? Y'all listen to me? There's a payday. My hand don't grow back. My hand don't grow back. And you can get out and mess around and sin. There's a price to pay that you'll never be the same. You'll scar you. It'll scar you, teenagers. You say, well, he's a God of love. He sure is. If he wasn't, he'd knock your head off and put you in hell. And he loves you enough. He loves you enough to let those consequences come. And the old book said, Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's all the way through the Bible. You read your Old Testament sometime with that thought in mind and watch Herod. Watch Pharaoh. Watch Pharaoh kill the firstborn, kill the firstborn, kill the firstborn, kill the firstborn. Then God tells him, kill his firstborn. Watch it all the way through the Bible. Watch Haman and Esther and all that build the gallows to hang Mordecai the Jew on and plot that whole thing out. And then it turns around, he gets hung on the gallows. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Amen. Don't you believe this doctrine of, well, we're saved by grace, so God don't care how we live. We are saved by grace, but he does care what we do. And there's a price to pay. Amen. He pays attention if you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're sowing. You're sowing. You're sowing. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number 4, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll finish this up here quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The fourth time the words be not deceived are mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, number 4. You'll look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Bible said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's an inheritance in the kingdom. You want an inheritance in the millennial kingdom? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, it's a lifestyle, idolaters, putting anything ahead of God, adulterers, lifestyle, effeminate. You know what effeminate means? Homosexuality, brother. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, abusing your body. Nor thieves, people that don't pay their tithes. Nor covetous, always wanting something you ain't got. You thought it was all about adultery, didn't you? Everybody said, bless God, them adulterers going to hell. So as you people don't pay your tithes and want your neighbor's car. Same verse. You ever saying, God, those lucky dogs, I'd love to have that house. I didn't write it, man. I'm just preaching it to you. You want me to preach the Bible? I'm going to preach the Bible. Better get that covetousness out of you. Better be thankful for what you got. Lordy mercy. You don't just stop now and everybody come to the altar. Nor covetous, nor drunkards. Say, ain't got me there, preacher. Nor revilers, nor extortioners. That's charging somebody more for something than it's worth. Fixing somebody's car and telling them you done something you didn't do. Or, Lord have mercy. I was thinking the other day, I was somewhere, and I thought, these garages where these mechanics work, when they see a woman pulling in that garage, they go, extra money. And they do. That's why I tell you ladies, make your husband, they'll take advantage of y'all. They say, it's poor. And she'll say, I don't know what's wrong with my car. It's making a racket. Well, you're going to need a radiator, and you're going to need an alternator, and you're going to need a generator, and you're going to need you're going to need everything in the world. And she says, oh, really? How much will this be? Oh, about $895. They'll come out, they'll put change two or three wires on it. Yep. Charge that woman $800. Yes, you know what that is? That's extortion. Yes, sir. It's taking advantage of somebody. Don't you get quiet on me. Amen, brother. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. I'm telling you, the book said, be not deceived. You can't get, you ain't going to have no inheritance in the kingdom. It didn't say you wasn't going to heaven. It said you had no inheritance in His kingdom. You might be saved, but you're going to sit in 1,000 years wishing you could get involved and watch the Lord's family run the world for 1,000 years while you sit on the sidelines. Amen. 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 Well, that killed it better than 4 o'clock, but it need to be killed if that killed it. We need to get our life right. We need to treat people right. We need to handle things right. We need to be honest with people and do the right thing. And if you don't, if you ain't been doing it, get down here tonight and ask God to forgive you. Get it right and start doing right. That's right. Amen. Like I said, this lawyer. You know, there's very few lawyers that really live right. I mean, Lord, their business. Man comes into a lawyer and he said, ask the CPA, what's 2 plus 2? CPA says, 4. He asked the public accountant, what's 2 plus 2? Public accountant says, 4. He goes into the lawyer's office, what's 2 plus 2? The lawyer says, come in here and sit down a minute. Closes the blinds, turns off the intercom, leans over his desk and says, what would you like for it to be? Listen, can I give you a little piece of advice here? I have friends that are lawyers, a couple, and I'm not saying they're all crooks, but you know, they started burying them 12 foot deep now instead of 6. Because deep down they are good people. But anyway, I'll tell you something. A lawyer. You say, well, especially you people going through divorces and stuff like that. You know what I tell people? I say, don't fool with lawyers unless you have to. I'll go to a lawyer and I'll get everything he's got. Or she, no, I tell you, he's going to get everything both of you's got. Amen? That's just the way it works. I'd sit down and I'd say, honey or ex-honey or whatever you are, I'll do this, do that, we'll do anything, keep them fooling with a lawyer. Because this world, I mean, they're in the business to make money. And the lawyers, they'll say, look, we got him. We got him. We'll win this. And his lawyer is telling him the same blessed thing. He said, well, my lawyer told me we had it. It's a done deal. And my lawyer told me we had a done deal. And then you two suckers think you're going to get each other, and they go out and eat coffee and eat a hamburger for lunch and talk about how they're going to get both of you. Lord, I don't know how I got off on all that. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. One more. Let's look at this and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lord, I had all kinds of stuff here I could talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is the last one. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And look what it says here. The last time we see those three words. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And gosh, I don't know. It's way down there somewhere. 33? Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Young people tonight, you listen to that. Mamas and daddies tonight, you look at that. Amen. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means the only way you're going to stay right is stay around the right kind of people. And if you hang around the wrong kind of people, it will corrupt you. You got that? And you've heard preachers say it over and over and over. Kids, it does make a difference who you hang around. If you hang around nuts, you're going to be a nut. If you hang around idiots, you're going to be an idiot. If you hang around people that smoke dope, you're going to wind up smoking dope. And if you don't, you'll get in trouble with them when they get in trouble. I know a girl right now who was at a meth lab when it got busted and swears she wasn't doing nothing. And maybe she wasn't, but she got in the same trouble they got into. Let me just put it bluntly here tonight. Every time just about you ever got in trouble in your life, you was somewhere doing something you shouldn't have been doing, or you was somewhere you had no business being. Say amen. If you'll trace it back in your life, every time you ever really got in trouble, you were somewhere you shouldn't have been. Or you was with somebody you had no business being with. I'm going to let that just soak in for you for a few seconds. Every time you get in trouble, you're with somebody you ain't got no business being with, or you're somewhere doing something you ain't got no business doing. Our coach used to tell us in high school, he said, guys, don't go in there. We'd go in there at lunch and everybody push and shove, act like we're playing ball and stuff. He said, you're going to mess around and get hurt. And guys would get hurt. We wouldn't get hurt in a ball game. We was always getting hurt when we was doing something we wasn't supposed to be doing. When you break a lamp or break the front picture window in your house, wasn't you doing something that you wasn't supposed to have been doing? Man, one of the boys threw a softball through the front picture window at our house one time, something. Man, we dreaded daddy coming home. I know my daddy was going to kill us. Listen, my sister's boyfriend would come over every day, and I'd beg him to come down the front yard and play ball. We had basketball go down the front yard, and I'd beg him, say, y'all come down here. We'll play one on two. I'll play both of you. I said, come on down here and play. I said, we'll play 21, horse, anything. And they'd want to sit up there and flirt with my sisters, and I'd say, bring them down here and make them play ball. And we get down there. Well, one time, my sister was down there, and we was all playing basketball. And we was all in the front yard, and we'd play till dark. You know what I used to do? I used to get off the school bus and set my books down in the front yard, not even go up to the house, and pick up a ball and play till dark. That's the truth. That's the truth. Mom said, Danny, supper! I ain't hungry. I got to hit 10 shots from right here before I go in. And I go here, and say, I got to hit 10 shots from here before I go in. I was a fanatic, man. And I'd always do that. And finally, there's this boy playing ball with us one day. And my brother-in-law, which he was my sister's boyfriend, he drove up, and we was all down there playing ball. And he didn't like this guy because he thought this guy was hitting on my sister. He was very jealous of him. So he comes up here and just sits down in the front yard like this. And we said, come on! Coming down there. Come on! I ain't coming down there. And she was down there playing ball, and Sandy, my sister, she was just like this. She thought, if you're going to act like a baby, I'm just going to stay down here. She didn't go run to him and say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. She just wasn't like that. She just wasn't like, she didn't go bow down and kiss his feet and say, I'm so sorry, darling. Are you just, she said, if you're too stupid to come down here and play ball with us, heck with you. And boy, when we got through, I kept playing, everybody else left, and they got in a fight in the house. And her boyfriend, which was her husband, Jerry, we heard something go, bam! He got mad and hit his fist through the, knocked a hole in the sheetrock. Well, buddy, when Daddy come home, no, Daddy worked hard for what we had. Very hard. He worked himself to death for what we had. And my daddy couldn't stand somebody that didn't appreciate stuff. He come home, seen that hole in that sheetrock wall, and son, he hit the roof. And he made him come over and cut that out and patch that sheetrock and repaint the wall. And I mean, here he was over there painting. Well, I kept, Lord, they said that one time we had this big old collie dog named Nick. And Nick, he'd bite you. Nick would bite you. He's about that tall. That dog would bite you. I'm not kidding you. You don't see a lot of dogs like that. He's one of these. He wasn't just all bark. He would bite you. And we just left him around the house, you know, all the time. If you didn't want to get bit, stay out, stay away from our yard. Well, one time, Daddy told him they'd be home. Steve Taylor and Vicki Taylor, y'all know who I'm talking about, Paul. Steve told me, he said, we was out one night, and it was about 11:30, and Daddy told Sandy she had to be there at 11 o'clock. He said, it's 11:30. He said, we come sneaking up a driveway real slow. He said, Lord, maybe he's asleep. You know, maybe he's asleep. He said, we pulled up in the driveway with Steve and Vicki and Sandy, my sister, and Jerry, and said, Sandy started easing out of the car, and one of them said, shh, be quiet. We don't want to get that dog out here, Bart. Said, about that time, my daddy jumped out of the bushes. It ain't that dog you better worry about. It's me. He scared the devil out of him. And that's just what that's the way he was. Now, me, I was a much nicer daddy, wasn't I? Listen, there's still marks on my house where them West Indians did, too. Don't sit there and shake your head now. I got a door busted right now where they was all over there acting stupid one night, wrestling around. Busted closet door. And I'm just a nicer person. But I tell you one thing. When you get in trouble, ain't this the truth? You're always doing something you ain't supposed to be doing. Or you're with somebody you ain't got no business being with. One night, Jerry, I'm telling you about him and another guy picked me up at the movies, me and my friend up at the movies, and I was about 15 years old. And because Daddy and Mom would come and get us at the movies. And we went to the movies every Saturday night. There wasn't nothing else to do with Marion. I mean, every Saturday night, it didn't matter. We couldn't care less what movie was playing. We went to the movies. We walked down the street and played putt-putt there on East Court Street and get ice cream. Ain't nothing else to do. We didn't say what's playing. We said, is it open? There wasn't nowhere else to go, Marion. And we went to the movies every Saturday night. We was 15 years old. And they picked us up one night. And one of them had been drinking. And they had been to fight with one of my sisters. And son, we come flying down Highway 70 down through there. And that thing was hitting 100, 110. And we'd hit those highway. And I remember sitting in the back seat. I was too chicken to say, slow this thing down, you idiots. I didn't say a word. I just sat back there and went. I was scared to death. And I thought, I'm in the wrong place. And that night they went up on Buck Creek. You remember that? Butch and them wrecked that night and like to kill them. And I was in the car. I was in the car with them. By the grace of God, they didn't wreck when I was in there. I was in the wrong place with the wrong people. You know what the moral of that story is, y'all? Don't ever even get in the car with somebody drinking. Don't get in the car. Say, bless God, I'll walk. Let me borrow your cell phone. I'll call Mama. Call Brother Danny. Call your Sunday school teacher. Call somebody. Don't. You always get in trouble when you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Or you hang around somebody you ain't got no business hanging around. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. What does that mean, preacher? That means don't just think that you're smart and got it all figured out and you're the exception and you can get that ain't true. That ain't true. People, listen to me, young people. Listen to me, boys. People are like elevators. Some of them will take you up and some of them will take you down. And you got to get away from them, it'll take you down. Some of y'all, the best thing could happen to you would you be cut somebody out of your life. that ain't got no business being in your life.
Right.
When the ship was going down and Jonah was on there, it wasn't what was on that board on that ship was causing trouble. It was who. Yeah. When they got rid of that guy, everything smoothed out.
Yeah.
And that's what needs something happening to some of y'all in your life. There's somebody you might need to just cut out.
Amen.
And things would smooth out. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're standing praying tonight. I want to ask you a question. I wonder tonight, do you come down here in this altar and bow your head and say, God, I don't want to be deceived. I can't let Lady Gaga be my hero and stay right. I can't. I'm deceiving myself. I can't hang around them people that party and do drugs and be a Christian like God wants me to be. I can't go to the honky-tonks and the bars and stay where I need to be with God. I can't. You're deceiving yourself. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I wonder how many of y'all here tonight just come down here and let's get down on our knees. Some of you need to quit hanging around that person that keeps you away from God and gets you in trouble. Amen. Come on right now. Come on. Just get AC. Let's get down on our knees tonight. Let's say, Lord, I want to do right. Amen. Others need to come. Come on, kid. Teenagers, girls, boys. Hey, it's your life. It's your life you're fooling with here. It's your life you're messing around with. Better get your heart right. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Lord, touch our young people, mamas and daddies. We love you. Have mercy on us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing tonight. Amen.
Have
Amen. Come on.
Own
Come on right now. Let's do business
way,
with God.
Lord.
Amen. Come on.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Amen. Let's pray.
Hold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Everybody now.
Try me, Master, today.